Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante along with Landon Tangwall. Landon, the big wait is finally over. We know where Penn State is going, and we know who they're playing. It's going to be Peach Bowl against Ole Miss. I don't know. Are the players as excited as I am?
100%, Jim. Penn State's never won the Peach Bowl, headed to Atlanta, Georgia. So that's fun. It's always fun for the guys when you get to figure out where you're going. You start to look at the destination. We get down there for a whole week, so we get to enjoy a couple days down there at the beginning and kind of get to see the scene, Uber out to a couple of cool spots. The team will take us around to different places in the area, a couple of different locations, and you get to do a lot of fun stuff. So obviously the location plays a big part in it. So I think a lot of the guys are really excited to be down there. We haven't visited there yet. And some people on the team are actually from that area. So it should be fun, but the guys are real excited, man. They're pumped up, and it's a big New Year's Six bowl game.
That's fantastic. And I got to mention our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel, because you know what? For fans, there is nothing like going on the road with the team for a road game. I did it with this group. They charter planes. They do the whole setup. In fact, when you guys were at Auburn last year, I went along on the trip. It was fantastic. We stayed at the same hotel as the team did, which was a great place. Unfortunately, you missed me, Landon. We did a show, Dustin and I, from the hotel lobby last.
Oh, I can't believe I missed out on that, man. That would have been a hoot. I would have had to sit on that one. Hey, well, while we're on the topic, you're mentioning the Auburn Hotel. So I just need to bring up that when we were there and we got there, me and Olu were roommates, and we looked at the menu, we had room service. And we're sitting there like, dude, this is like the best opportunity we've ever had to actually get room service. So, because, when you go up to other places, you go to like Indiana and like the middle of nowhere, like Purdue. And it's like, yeah, I'm not ordering anything off the room service. It's not a good hotel. But then you go down here and we're in these, you were there, you know how nice that hotel was. And man, we start looking and it's just a bunch of Southern food, mac and cheese, all this corn grit. I'm like, oh man. So we started texting the player personnel people. We're asking them, we're like, hey, does this get charged to us? Like, are we going to get a bill for this? And then sure enough, they texted us back and they said, yeah, we're definitely going to deduct that from your stipend or something. We're accountable for it. So we ended up just sticking with the team meal that night. But I do remember ordering Popeyes after team meeting around 9 p.m. because we don't have a Popeyes around State College. The closest one's out in Altoona. So some guys will make the trip 45 minutes. But we wanted Popeyes, so I do remember getting Popeyes down in Auburn, Alabama.
Just as a side note, I love Popeyes, too.
It's great. It's great. I'm a big fan.
You and I are going to have to find a Popeyes. But we had – and it's unfortunate that you would have had so much fun with us. It was Dustin and I doing it. Well, there were Auburn fans there who came – we had it open up for listeners to ask questions. There were Auburn fans. What was even better is there were some Alabama fans there who came on the air with us telling us about better beat Auburn. We were Penn State fans for the weekend, and it was fantastic. Dustin and I, we were down in the bar, so you knew what the kind of food. They had some great wings, and I forget what else all we ate. We drank, and I went to pay the bill. Somebody from down there who was listening picked up our bill.
Wow, that's impressive. That must have been a hefty bill. You said you and Dusty were drinking, so it had to have been a pretty big bill to start off with, not to mention everybody else.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, so it was fantastic. We had the best time. And what was great is this Collegiate Athletic Travel, they arranged the trip and they do things around the trip. So, that hotel wasn't really close to the stadium. So they arranged the bus ride over. We didn't have to worry about any of that. They had this wonderful catered tailgate for us prior to the game. It's just fantastic. And they had a couple of their people there, Jen and Amanda, who just ran everything. It was so coordinated, you know, when you're away on the trip. Mm-hmm. Well, they're doing the same thing for this ball game. So for the trip to Atlanta, they're doing this. And what's great is they have both flight plans, you know, with the flight from up here, or for our listeners who are already down south, you know, in the Carolinas or whatever, and just want to drive to it, they have land plans also. So anyway, if you've ever wanted to go to a bowl game, if that's on your bucket list, go to athletictravel.com or call 800-788-4414. And Landon, I think it says something about you and I. That was supposed to be like a 30-second read. And you and I go
That's typical. That's typical for us, Jim. But and I'll just add one more thing to that. If you're like in and around the team, especially on the bowl trip, it's so fun. I've had some great conversations in the hotels with different fans, and everybody knows our team. It's really nice guys. If you ever come up to any of us, everybody will be happy to have a conversation, take a picture, sign something. So it is really cool. And I remember after the Rose Bowl game, and we had our own, you know, part of the hotel kind of sectioned off where we could walk around, where we have a really nice game room and all this really cool stuff. So we sectioned it off, and we came, that's the way that we came in after we won the Rose Bowl. Cause it was like a mob down in the front of the hotel, and we come in the back entrance, and then we come out, and it's kind of this overhang that's that you can kind of walk out on where there's escalators, and Franklin comes out with the Rose Bowl trophy and holds it up, and that's where the hotel bar is, and everybody was just going crazy. It was the greatest time. Everybody was buying drinks. It was really cool experience. So if you do get the opportunity to be with the team and be around the hotel and that type of stuff, it's a really cool experience for everybody, not only just the fans.
It is, and if you actually get a chance to hang out with James Franklin in a social setting, do it. He's a lot of fun. He is a great guy. Not many people get that opportunity. Speaking of teammates and hanging out, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this, Landon, we were a little late getting start to record. We're recording on Sunday. Can you explain to our listeners why you were a little late getting on board today?
Well, yeah, I was watching some Sunday football, and then Dominic DeLuca, obviously big Italian family, so you know how that goes. Family shows up, bunch of food, family, friends, and next thing you know, we're redecorating the house. It's like four or five big sweaty guys trying to move things that we brought up on a trailer. We're, you know, just classic big time family. So it's always fun when they come up, but I had to help out Mama DeLuca set some stuff up. If anybody knows Riri DeLuca, she's one of a kind. So it was great to see them, but a little late getting on.
Well, we got to do the quick shout out to both Riri and Carl. Fantastic people. They're from up my area of the state, so love those guys, Landon. All right. Let's get back to football here a little bit. I know I'm curious. I'm sure our listeners are too. How do the players find out about the bowl game, you know, which bowl game and who they're going to play? Do they find out ahead of time differently, or are they waiting on the announcement like we do?
Yeah, normally with the New Year's Six now, just because it's the committee and, you know, they put it on the TV and stuff, they really don't let that stuff, let it leak. So with today, no one knew until it was actually announced right a little bit after, I guess, what was that, 2:30? Nobody had any idea. I remember when we got selected down to the Outback Bowl, it was a little different. There was like some leaks on Twitter just because it wasn't a New Year's Six game. And it was just not, you know, it wasn't as, you know, just like presented on TV or anything like that. So sometimes you'll get that news a little bit earlier. And I'm sure a couple people like Coach Franklin get word earlier on that, look, it's looking like Peach Bowl and probably Ole Miss. I'm sure he heard that at some point. But it's really cool to see it, and everybody gets to, you know, post on social media and stuff, and you start texting, like I said earlier, you start texting with the guys, all right, we're going to Atlanta, you know, where do we want to go, what do we want to see and visit, and like I said, it's something we can get into a little bit more, but Coach Franklin does a really great job with the bowl trips. Not all teams go down for 7 full days. A lot of teams will go down just for 5 days, and that kind of cuts it short, the kind of the whole experience of wherever you go, because it's still a practice week. You still have your same practice schedule. Where, you know, you got 2 days of real practice hitting, and then it's, you know, start to gear it down and get into Thursday, Friday, where it's, you know, take the pads off and it's lighter, but it's still a lot of practice, a lot of studying. So it's really nice that Coach Franklin gets us 2 extra days down there. And those first 2 days, we'll have a couple meetings and, you know, maybe a walkthrough practice, but those first 2 days, we're going out on excursions. We got a ton of free time. We'll have buses set up for us that we can take us anywhere downtown, all these different locations. So shout out to Coach Franklin and his staff. They do a great job setting that up and always making sure we have a ton of fun stuff to do just at our disposal. And then obviously one of the coolest things when you get to the bowl site and you get to the hotel, there's a game room where there is endless snacks, endless food. I mean, I'm talking, they have it, the hotel staff has it stocked up 24/7. You can go down there, put in any food request you want, you know, candy, and then you're shooting hoops, playing FIFA, you know, Madden on a big, huge 120-inch screen TV. So it's really a great time, and it's cool to experience as a player, fan, or coach, anybody. It's really enjoyable.
And now you mentioned that being there 7 days before, and the game's actually on December 30th. Does that mean the team will be spending Christmas down there?
I'd assume so. I mean, obviously we do not have the schedule yet, but very, very possible. Because obviously a little bit earlier, I think what was the past ones we played on New Year's Day the past couple of times, and then Rose Bowl was the second, right? I believe it was So I mean, that's, you know, definitely, that's definitely different, because normally we would leave on Christmas. I think that's what we've done the past 2 years, actually. I think looks like if the timing lines up, it should be down in Atlanta for Christmas. So that should be interesting for guys, especially that are used to wintery Christmases. It's going to be a little bit warmer, a little bit different scene than Penn State for sure.
Well, that always is. And now I'm going to go off track again. I used to, my parents had a place in Naples, Florida, and we would go down there for New Year's. And it was the most different thing in the world to be on the beach on New Year's Day, you know, and just much different feel. So, but if you, you know, as fans for a bowl game, that's, you know, just going to be a lot of fun to go south. I know Atlanta isn't quite all the way to Florida, but the weather will be definitely better than what it is here. And I know we're kind of going up against the break, but I do want to talk to you about, there was so much talk about playing a group of five team, Landon, and then I guess a pleasant surprise for the fans. I assume the same for the players to find out it's against a Southeast Conference team in Ole Miss.
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, obviously, group of fives, you're not going to take them lightly. I mean, you saw what happened to USC with Caleb Williams last year. I mean, Tulane took them down in a shootout. But, you know, it's a little more enticing to play, you know, a real team. I think Ole Miss, I mean, we'll get into them, you know, down the road, but really well-rounded team, reminds me a lot of us. I mean, talented quarterback and Jackson Dart, but just bunch of good players and well-coached. And we were talking off air about Lane Kiffin, so we get a whole month of Lane Kiffin content and all his tweets and press conferences, so that should be fun to hear.
It definitely will be. We'll pick up the conversation when we get back right after this break, Landon. This is Jim from Keystone Sports for our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. If going to see Penn State in a bowl game is on your bucket list, I've got the solution for you. Collegiate Athletic Travel is ready to do all the planning for you. With both air and land packages available and 50 years of experience, let Collegiate Athletic Travel take care of all the details. They've got everything taken care of for a memorable trip to Atlanta for the Peach Bowl. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 800-788-4414.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. He's Landon Tengwall. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking all about Penn State matching up in the Peach Bowl with Ole Miss. And if you want to go down to the game, I've got the best way to do it. You need to hook up with Collegiate Athletic Travel. They've been doing this, Landon, for over 50 years or so. The flights, the hotel arrangements, all the transportation, all those kind of things. And they are doing it again. You've got to check them out. If you want to, you can go to athletictravel.com. That's athletictravel.com to get more information there. Or even better yet, you could call 800-788-4414. Now, I've made a trip with them. They're the absolute best. They make the trip so much better, so much easier. You don't have to worry about anything. They take care of it. When you're going to, you know, an away arena, it's always difficult. You don't know where to park, you know, what hotel to stay at, all that stuff. They take care of it for you. So remember, call 800-788-4414 and they will help out. It's a fantastic way to go. Landon, when we finished up quarter one, we were talking about the fact that it's Ole Miss versus a group of five team. And a lot of the rumors were, okay, first it was going to be, we'll see Tulane. Then it was Liberty. And some folks were saying SMU. And as a fan, it's, you want to see that, not to say that those teams can't test you. Like you said, Tulane certainly was more than a test for USC, but Liberty, nobody really knows how good or bad they are. So if you're getting an Ole Miss team that finished the season 10-2 out of the Southeast Conference, immediately you have to respect that opponent, right?
Absolutely. I just think playing against a group of five, it's doesn't like we said, it does not guarantee a win at all. But it's just not as exciting. The fan base isn't there as much on Twitter for you to go back and forth with, and you know, just it's just not the same. I don't think if we were playing Liberty, I don't know how well they could, you know, stack up against our defense. You look at something like that, I mean, that's a complete mismatch. And I just, you know, I think playing a team like Ole Miss, SEC team, that's another thing. I mean, SEC versus Big Ten, I think fans, everybody, Twitter, social media is going to eat that up. I mean, that's great. I mean, you played Auburn the past 2 years and won both games. So that's kind of, you know, coming into it, you know, I'm sure the fans will be saying something, you know, we own the Big Ten or SEC, things like that. So there'll definitely be some good banter, good chirping. But it's just fun to, you know you're going against a really good, solid Ole Miss team that's going to give you a great game and really, really could go either way.
And that was it. Ahead of the crazy stuff that happened this weekend with the conference championship games and all that, and I am going to ask you about that in a second, but it looked that first Ole Miss was not going to make it into the New Year's Six bowl games. And one of the possibilities was Missouri, which, again, Southeast Conference team, 10-2. It was very comparable to Ole Miss. And I was thinking, you know what? I certainly would not mind that matchup. It must be just something about playing a Southeast Conference school. You brought up Auburn, you know, playing them regular season the last 2 years. But I thought of that as being special. And again, making that trip down to Auburn, Landon, I know you were busy playing the game, but I'm going to tell you, those folks know how to tailgate.
That's what I've heard, man. I heard that. I mean, one thing that I can 100% guarantee, their hospitality down there was amazing. I mean, you didn't come across one rude person. They cheer against you, but they were great. They were a great fan base. We did take over the stadium. That was one of, I think, everybody's more fonder moments. I mean, that was kind of a domination on the run game. Just did really well defensively, and a couple guys really came out in that game. So it was a great experience. Guys have good memories against the SEC. So hopefully we keep that going. But yeah, like I said, I just think they're a really well-rounded team. Great on all three phases of the football field, and just, you know, really stack up well against us. So I'm excited to see these battles, man.
Well, okay. So now we know where the location is. We know who's playing. What we don't know yet is what Penn State players maybe will choose to skip the bowl game. We know that happens. It's just part of college football right now. And what I wanted to ask you about is just how exactly does that work? If you're, you know, Curtis Jacobs or Chop Robinson or, you know, Kalen King, guys who are probably going to be draft picks, it's understandable if they don't want to risk injuries. How do they decide, or how does it actually happen, the conversation with the coaches? Does James Franklin or the position coach approach those players and say, hey, let's talk about this? Or is it typically the players will go to the coaches? Just how overall does that whole thing work?
Yeah, I mean, normally that process kind of starts earlier in the season, and you kind of have conversation. You kind of have conversations when you realize a guy's going to go, you know, very clearly be drafted. And that's something you kind of keep, you know, as an open conversation. It's not really, you know, nothing's decided until you get to that point where you need to make the decision. And then, you know, guys have to make the best decision for them and their family. Some guys want to go get a head start on training, you know, get out to their facility and stuff like that. I think, you know, playing a better bowl game and a better opponent always helps with that. I will say that. So, you know, playing Ole Miss instead of someone like we mentioned, SMU or Tulane or, you know, Liberty, something like that. It definitely helps 100%. But, you know, if you're going to leave, you're going to leave. Some guys just have that in their head and, you know, they'll let the coaches know. And I think, you know, the coaches do a good job and they respect that. They understand at the end of the day, it's a business and you came here for one goal. And, you know, obviously they hope that, you know, you stay and help the team finish out the season. But I, you know, coaches do a good job of understanding that and understanding what's at stake for a lot of these guys.
In some ways, I find that actually a little bit exciting. Sure, I'd love to see this, say, defense intact for another game. But if Curtis Jacobs decides not to be there, and I have no idea what his decision is, but if that means we get to see more Tony Rojas, it's not exactly the worst thing in the world as a fan, Landon.
100%. Yeah. So when, you know, you look back to Olu Fashanu, first start with left tackle, you know, down in Tampa 2021 and had a great game, didn't give up any pressures, no penalties, no sacks, anything like that. And then kind of came into the next season. People saw how good he played, but he wasn't, you know, he was talked about a little bit. And then next thing you know, top five pick, you know, could have left last after last season. That's the type of stuff you get to see guys, you know, be showcased. And it just gives guys an opportunity, especially in this type of game, play on a big stage before the start of next season. And I think a lot of those reps are really valuable. So, you know, as much as possible, I still think Coach Franklin's going to do a great job of getting as many guys in the game as possible. Obviously within reason, not just putting anybody, but getting a lot of these younger guys some reps in these big time games. So, you know, they're ready when they play, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, whoever it is, USC next year, that type of thing.
Well, let's talk about what practice is like. Now, it's commonly talked about that the great thing about just even having a bowl game versus not means X number of practices through December. Mm. So that happens. How does it work? And it gives the young guys more opportunity, more reps in practice. Mm. So how does that typically work? What does the schedule look like if you're a veteran who's just been through, you know, 4 or 5 months of practice and games, and your body probably just needs a break if you're some of those players who played so many reps, so many is it like almost, well, on the first week of practice, it's a little bit slow for the veterans? Or just how does the practice schedule work over these next 4 weeks?
Yeah, the veterans get a lighter load. They're not doing really any tackle drills for a little bit, just kind of taking it easier. And then, as you mentioned, the younger guys get a really good chance to showcase, you know, what they've been working on all season. The coaches do go recruit for a good period of this. So there is like GA practices where all, you know, GA for the wide receiver, O-line, and then maybe a couple like quality control guys, that type of stuff that help out with the offense and the defense. They are running the practices with some of the younger guys, giving some of the veterans some time off, as you mentioned, healed. I mean, it's a grueling thing to go from August 1st all the way, you know, basically till December 1st. And then you get a little bit of a break there and then you got to get back after it. And not even to mention, I mean, in college football, then you turn around after the bowl game, you know, right around January 1st, and you've got spring practice and, you know, almost under, you know, 2 months around that. And it's hard on the body year round. I mean, that's why some guys, you know, want to get out of college as quick as possible, because the NFL is a lot more easier, you know, on the body, and they put a little more emphasis on healing. In college, it's more, you know, get reps, you know, just build that body up, get as many reps as possible in the weight room all the time. So it's definitely a good time to get some reps for the younger guys and let the veterans have a little bit of time off. But it's also a great time to game plan for these coaches too. I mean, they're looking at that Ole Miss tape, you know, right now.
And there's also so much going on, like you said, for the coaches. Besides the recruiting, there's also the transfer portal. Mm. And, you know, hate to go too far down that path, but, you know, how the window is opening this week, correct, when guys can make themselves available in the portal, and again, I'm sure it's a little bit different for everyone, but is there kind of a, here's how that happens? Are there guys who have been talking about it during the season? Is it just usually comes up totally out of nowhere? Do the coaches ask those questions, the position coaches, with everyone? Just how does that work?
Yeah, sometimes you have a conversation, you know, with your coach or with the head coach about intentions, you know, to leave, or and sometimes it's kind of just assumed. Say it's a guy who's really talented but just not able to get the reps on the field for whatever reason, if there's a lot of talent in front of him and he's just not able to get on field, and you know, you look and you say, okay, you know, I have to respect that. You can go somewhere else and be a huge impact and play and be a full-time starter. And, you know, when you're here, you're getting maybe half the reps you normally would. And, you know, you're, like I said, you're a really talented player. So they do a good job communicating with that with the coaches. But it's normally something that's brought up around this time. A lot of guys don't want to tell the coaches during the season because then it can, you know, kind of affect, well, if you think about it, hey, I got this guy, I know he's going to leave. Do I really want to get him these reps in the game? I mean, what is that? You know, the reps are really, you're banking reps, they're cumulative. And, you know, you want to, you know, you look as a freshman and say, oh, let's get him X amount of reps and get him better, improve him. If you know a guy's about to leave, you know, you're not that inclined to get him reps. So a lot of people wait till right around this time, let their coaches know at the end of the season. But our coaches do a great job with it and been utilizing the portal well.
Very good, Landon. That is it for quarter number two. Stick around. Quarter three, I want to ask you about the college football playoffs and how they ended up with the four teams they did, Landon. Stick around for that. This is Jim from Keystone Sports for our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. If going to see Penn State in a bowl game is on your bucket list, I've got the solution for you. Collegiate Athletic Travel is ready to do all the planning for you. With both air and land packages available and 50 years of experience, let Collegiate Athletic Travel take care of all the details. They've got everything taken care of for a memorable trip to Atlanta for the Peach Bowl. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 800-788-4414.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Landon. I'm Jim. We're talking about Penn State, college football, the playoffs, Penn State's big bowl game going to the Peach Bowl against Ole Miss. And if you want to make that trip to Atlanta for the Peach Bowl, you got to contact our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. They've been doing this for 50 years. They offer air and land packages, have so much experience. They do a great job. I've traveled with them and it was fantastic. It was a great time. It was just so comforting to not have to worry about things. I think the thing I like best is them, just the transportation from the hotel to the stadium. Just one less thing to worry about, all that anxiety that comes from that. And if you want to know more about it, go to athletictravel.com or better yet, call them up at 800-788-4414. That's 800-788-4414. It's a great way to travel. There is nothing like being on the road with the team, especially for a bowl game. All right, Landon, we've been talking about the Penn State matchup in the Peach Bowl with Ole Miss, and we will be talking about that over the next several weeks, trust me. But this weekend, the big story in college football was the selection of the four playoff teams going into the weekend. It was, oh my goodness, if Alabama beats Georgia, it's going to be chaos. Well, guess what? Alabama beat Georgia, and it was. It was total chaos, and it was, who do you take? Alabama, who has the best win in beating Georgia in the Southeast Conference Championship game. Texas, they had beaten Alabama at Alabama. They look great in their conference championship game. And oh, by the way, Florida State, undefeated, power conference champion. And I'll tell you what, if you ask Mike Norvell, that's the team that should have been in it. I'm asking you, did the committee get it right with Alabama and Texas in? an undefeated Florida State out.
Yeah, personally, I agree with this decision. I think some people might be mad at it right now, and they'll say, you know, hey, Florida State, they absolutely got gypped. And I will agree, it was complete misfortune what happened to Jordan Travis. It sucks. But at the same time, you say that now, but then you look and you go to watch one of the final games, and it's, you know, the whoever's playing Florida State's expected to win by 20 points. And it's like, you know, the football isn't as good as it could be. They could have picked a better quality opponent to put in their place. And unfortunately, I think that's just what happened with Florida State. Really unfortunate what happened to their quarterback. But I just don't think they put up that good of a fight against Michigan with their backup quarterback. I think putting Alabama in is just much – I mean, some would even argue Alabama could almost be a favorite over Michigan. I mean, the SEC football – it is, you know, they say it's a little different down there, and it's, they're big boys. They were handling guys up front on that offensive line. I remember me and a couple offensive linemen were sitting there watching the game yesterday, and they were blowing guys off the ball. Really impressive group. I think almost all of them are going to go to the NFL. So definitely something to keep an eye on with Michigan. Obviously, most people are going to be Alabama fans with that. But I think, and then looking at Texas, I think, you know, you put Texas in, you have to put Alabama in. If you put Alabama in, you have to put Texas in. Texas beat Alabama. I don't think that would have been fair at all, especially going head-to-head. And you didn't even mention, I mean, Georgia, I mean, they haven't lost a game in almost, you know, over two seasons. And, you know, one lost Alabama and you're out. So it's questionable. I mean, do you think Georgia's a better team than Texas? I'd say if you put them up against each other, I'd take Georgia 10 out of 10 times. But I'd say with what the committee had, I think they did a good job. I think these are going to be the most competitive games that they could have put out there.
Well, it's interesting. The argument always is it the four best teams or the four deserving teams? And then the injury to the quarterback at Florida State is just an extra variable, an extra curveball in all this. And I'm glad you brought up Georgia. And here's something I think you need to add to this whole mix also, which is Texas and Alabama each have the best win of these teams you're talking about because they beat a top 10 team. You know, Texas's win over Alabama, Alabama's win over Georgia were very special wins, which Florida State does not have. But I'm going to throw something else out there that's part of all this. And it's the conversation with Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State. Who else has to – those three teams have to play two top 10 teams in the regular season. Who else has to do that? The closest, I guess, is Washington and Oregon playing each other twice.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with you there. I mean, I think that's just the luck of the draw. The Big Ten is it's a hard place to play. And honestly, I mean, we don't have I think we just play Michigan next year, or we might just play Ohio State, and then it flip flops the next year. But you know, then you look, you had Washington, USC, Oregon, that type of stuff. I mean, it makes the schedule hard. So I mean, we're gonna continue on that track of playing a bunch of really good teams. You know, every year. So they do get that luxury. And then just jumping back to Florida State, one other thing, and I saw it on Twitter that the NCAA actually has it listed on wherever it's on their website that says that they basically, the committee reserves the right to change their opinion on a team if a big change is made with a player, a coach, so an injury, someone leaving, someone declaring for the draft, something like that. So, you know, they have stated that they will do that to make the best game possible. So I do not think that the most deserving teams got in, but I think they wanted to put the best TV possible out there, the best game out there. And I just don't think Florida State's putting out as good content as Alabama is with the backup quarterback.
And I'm glad you brought that up, that is part of the rules. Because there is a precedent with NCAA basketball. They've talked about that. If a basketball team has a major injury late in the season where that player will not be playing in the tournament, they can take that into consideration. And I think when you hit upon the idea, again, decisions shouldn't be made based on what Las Vegas says, but you and I were chatting about it. I would think Florida State playing a Michigan – and Alabama, probably even Georgia, Texas, they'd be like a two-touchdown underdog.
I totally agree. I don't think it would be close. Now, granted, we did think that TCU was going to get blown out, you know, last year by Michigan and ended up handling business. But then, you know, we saw what happened in the national championship game. So I think that's also one thing to avoid is, you know, unfortunately, I mean, they just got unlucky that TCU just got to the national championship and just, you know, just fell dead. But that was really bad for college football to have a blowout like that in the national championship. I mean, you want good football. So, you know, like I said, I think they did a good job getting the four best teams in there. Not the most deserving. And, you know, shout out to Florida State. And I think, you know, they got a good opportunity to beat Georgia there down in the in Miami, right? Orange Bowl?
It could be
one of those UCF moments where you go undefeated, then you beat Georgia, who's arguably still one of the best teams in college football. I don't know if I'm Mike Norvell. He already seems pretty opinionated. I'm starting to make rings that say national champion on him. Either way, I mean, that we kind of saw, like I said, we saw UCF kind of do that a while back when they didn't get the into the playoffs, but definitely something to keep an eye on.
All right, two questions for you here, big guy. You're talking about Florida State winning that game. What do you think the point spread for that game is going to be, and would you bet on Florida State to beat Georgia?
I definitely would not. I think it's going to be close to 2-3 touchdowns. Like I said, they got a good opportunity. But no, I don't think it's going to be close. And I think that game is honestly going to showcase the reason why Florida State with the backup quarterback was not put in the playoffs. I think Georgia's going to beat them handily and make the committee look good. I'd say I think that's what we can expect.
And if Georgia shows up, and, you know, that's an if. You know, they're a team that's been used to being in the playoffs and winning. So, you know, will they show up? If they do, I think you're exactly right. But that brings us to, real quick, just the first impressions. I love this playoff. I think Alabama, Michigan, can't wait to see it. Great game. And if you've watched Texas and Washington play, I can't wait to see that game also. A couple great quarterbacks. Quinn Ewers looked really good in their conference championship game. Michael Penix. Love Michael Penix. Your quick take on those two games. You have a favorite for the two games?
Yeah, no, it's exciting, and that's kind of what I mentioned. Now we have two great games that everybody's excited for. It's going to draw a lot of attention. Personally, for me, I don't know. After watching Alabama and the way they dominated up front, obviously, you know, Jalen Monroe is a little bit different from what they've had in the past with, you know, Tua and the, you know, Hurts and those other guys. They've had some really great quarterbacks, and not to say he's not a great quarterback, you know, a little bit runs the ball a lot and takes some hits. But I'm excited for that game. I mean, that's going to be a physical game where they're just big dudes up front. Michigan has a great offensive line, Blake Corum. They did lose one of their right guards, who's going to be an NFL big time NFL prospect, Zach Zinter. He's been really impressive. So it hurts losing him, but I think that's going to be a battle, and that game is going to be real close. But I think I'll take Bama edging Michigan out in that one. I think a lot of Penn State fans can hope that we don't have to hear about a national championship from Michigan. So, and then Texas Washington. I mean, that's a really intriguing, exciting matchup. I mean, just the Penix Ewers, you know, going up against each other alone is going to be super exciting, and that's got a real potential to just be a complete shootout too. So, and you know, most people, I live with Dominic DeLuca, so he just cheers for like 3 to 6 games. He loves defense and special teams, so that's all I hear about. He loves a rainy game, but most normal humans love a big shootout, 49-52. So hopefully we see something like that in the Washington Texas game with that great quarterback play.
Well, I'm hoping for one of each. I'm hoping for that Michigan-Alabama game to be, you know, a slugfest. I call those the rock fights, you know. And then, yeah, I want the Texas-Washington game to be the shootout. I want the score to be 52-50 in that game, Landon.
I think you're speaking for all of us, Jim. I totally agree, man. Hopefully we get that. And, you know, two quarterbacks that are going to possibly both go to the league, showcasing talent right at the end here. And I think Texas might have lost one of their top wide receivers. He might have messed up his ankle pretty bad in the championship game. But, I mean, you look at Quinn Ewers, almost – I think he threw for around 500 yards, and they pulled him with a couple drives to go. I mean, they were trying to put some points up to show the committee, look, you know, like flexing their muscles a little bit for the committee. But, you know, that's going to be an exciting game, man.
It will be. I'm looking forward to it, Landon. All right, that is it for quarter number three. Quarter four, I'm going to ask Landon about the new offensive coordinator. Stay tuned for that. This is Jim from Keystone Sports for our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. If going to see Penn State in a bowl game is on your bucket list, I've got the solution for you. Collegiate Athletic Travel is ready to do all the planning for you. With both air and land packages available and 50 years of experience, let Collegiate Athletic Travel take care of all the details. They've got everything taken care of for a memorable trip to Atlanta for the Peach Bowl. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 800-788-4414.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. He's Landon. I'm Jim. We had so much to talk about. Penn State's bowl game, the college football playoffs. This segment, we are going to talk about the new offensive coordinator at Penn State. That's exciting. But first, a reminder, our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel, they are doing the trip for the Peach Bowl. Fantastic way to go. A great way to enjoy the game, the bowl game, where they take care of all those details that you do not want to worry about. Let them take care of it for you. Fantastic way to go. If you want some more information, just go to athletictravel.com or you could call 800-788-4414 and they could help you out. They've got both air packages, land packages. If you want to drive there, check them out. Again, call 800-788-4414. Okay, Landon. We've been going through everything else, the bowl games, the college football playoffs. We haven't hit Penn State's other really big news for the week, and that's a new offensive coordinator coming from Kansas, Andy Kotelnicki. That's what we've decided we're going to go with for the pronunciation. Your first impressions. I know you've watched a couple of the highlights. You have some thoughts on that hire.
Yeah, I think it's a really exciting hire. Really well liked from the players, from my understanding, from different people I've talked to. Just brings a unique, you know, freshness, exciting offense. I'm sure some of the fans have seen his stuff on Twitter. He actually had a very similar play to the splitting all the offensive linemen out wide on that 2-point conversion we ran against Michigan. Had a similar play where he had a jet sweep that actually went for a touchdown. I think over almost a 60-yard touchdown or so I saw on Twitter. So that one caught my eye, kind of took me back to Yurcich there a little bit. But no, really, really exciting. Like I said, he was one of the most hottest names in the market for OC jobs. Did a really fantastic job down at Kansas. Explosive offense. So, you know, hopefully bring that here, and has a lot of talent, a lot of weapons to work with.
It's got to be an upgrade in talent for him. Going from Kansas, no disrespect to them because they did pretty well for Kansas program, but I'm sure he's never seen the talent and skill players like he will get here at Penn State. One interesting aspect that he's had to deal with already is two quarterbacks on the field at the same time, Landon, and he's managed to pull it off where one of them is the more traditional drop back quarterback, like Drew Aller, and the other one a running threat like Bo Prabula. It will be interesting to see how well he will be able to do that, right? Put them both on the field.
It'll be really fun. And, you know, I think that having a guy like Bo, we've talked about it on the show, we got to continue to get him involved. And now you're bringing in someone that has just that experience of getting another quarterback involved. I've seen a couple toss pitches where the quarterback has the option to keep going or pull up, and he has, you know, receivers running routes. And that just adds a whole new combination and, you know, just confuses the defense. When Bo comes in now, you know, they have to be thinking, they have to be ready for a whole mess of different trick plays. And then you can just hand him the ball, and he could run the ball. He could be a running back. I mean, Bo's a big dude back there. So hopefully just kind of uses the players and, you know, just I could see Bo being very versatile in this offense. So excited to see what he can scheme up this offseason, and hopefully he enjoys being around. I saw he got to go to Beaver Stadium yesterday, so hope him and his family are settling in nicely in State College. And I think some people that saw the photo, we need to take a look at his son for the offensive line. He's a big dude. I don't know if anybody saw that, caught that, but as an offensive lineman, and I in the offensive line training world, I said, oh man, that guy might be a player. So we'll have to keep a watch on young Koto Nicky there.
What's funny is I did take note of the size of his son. I was thinking tight end, okay? And maybe that's just the difference between you and I, you being an offensive lineman, Landon.
Hey, very well could be. My thought always goes, I see a long, lanky guy. I'm saying, you know what, we can make that guy into offensive lineman. Just put him in the weight room, get him in the training table, get him chocolate milk from the creamery every night. Hey, we'll be all good.
Well, speaking of offensive linemen, I was watching a highlight of Kansas playing, and I thought of you, my good friend, all right? And I don't know if you saw this one or not. He had an offensive lineman lined up wide, like a wide receiver. Put him in motion, so he's got a full head of steam before he places a lead block, okay? How would you feel about doing that?
That's exciting, man. You get a full head of steam into a bomb. I mean, you don't normally get that because, you know, normally as an offensive guard or tackle, you're trapping someone on the line of scrimmage and they see you coming. But, you know, they can't move. They can't even brace. So I saw a couple of tweets put out. I mean, you put Big Vango Ione out there, 360, something like that, coming full speed at you. I think you're either going to get out of the way or you're going to get flattened. I mean, it's one or the other. And then you got Nick Singleton or Katron Allen bursting through the hole. So I hope we continue that. And I think that shows Shanahan made that popular. He did that with Trent Williams a bunch. An absolute monster in San Fran. And that worked out. So I think, you know, he gets a couple different guys that he thinks can really put some punishment on a defensive end trying to set the edge. That could be really exciting. But one thing that shows to me too is he seems like a coach that's very adaptable, is looking around college football, looking around the NFL, you know, how can I get my guys more involved? How can I, you know, create a new variable to confuse the defense? He just seems like a coach that's always trying to adapt and look for, you know, what's working in ball right now. And that's really the key to being a coach in football. It's not being, you know, stuck in your own ways and saying, you know, my stuff's the best. It's you know, going in with the new mindset. How can I learn? How can I look at tape from around the league and see what's going to work best for my guys? So, you know, still really excited for see what Coach Koto Nicky is going to put together with this offense.
I think you were around, weren't you, a couple of years ago when Manny Diaz came on board in December? Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to ask you a little bit about the logistics of that, because I assume it's going to work the same way. He's not going to be here to coach the offense for the bowl game, but he's going to be with the team, learn a little bit more about the players. Tell me about the logistics of that, how that works when you've already experienced that, though, from the other side of the ball with Manny Diaz on the defense when he came in new.
Yeah, I think it's great to get the coaches kind of just acquainted with the players. They get to get around, just learn, see what players work, you know, best in what environment and what type of play. So, and just get to know everybody. It's really nice. Coach Manny was just around with us, kind of just hanging out, building those relationships, those bonds, especially even with some younger guys that you know you're gonna have next year playing for you even more. So it just kind of gives the coaches just a jump start, because once you get into January and stuff and the season's over, you got to go out, you're on the road recruiting, you know, the guys get a little bit of time off, or they're just really spending it in the weight room. There's not a whole lot of time with the players really until you get to, you know, close to spring ball. So, you know, it's really good to just get that jump start and get this month of bowl prep and kind of see some of these younger guys we mentioned, you know, practicing and getting a lot of reps, so you can get his eyes on some of these guys that are going to be really, really crucial in the future for him.
Now, you mentioned about developing relationships. One thing, you know, it's different offense to defense. I would think on offense, it's particularly a special relationship between an offensive coordinator and a quarterback. So if you're Drew Aller now, getting a new offensive coordinator, I guess I'll just make the question kind of general. Just how will that work with the new OC learning the new quarterback, the quarterback learning the new OC?
Yeah, it's definitely getting used to each other. You know, come from a whole different, you speak a whole different language when you're used to working with one offensive coordinator your whole time in a college career, and then someone else comes in. I mean, you speak a whole different dialect in football. You know, it's basic, and there's everybody does the same thing, but everybody uses completely different language. You know, you gotta continue to mix it up, as we've seen with Michigan there. Or someone's gonna steal your stuff, so you gotta keep you on your toes with all your signals and your calls. And but no, it's great. Like I said, it's great for them to get some time together right now. Drew obviously has a little bit of guys, older vets have a little bit of time off that have played those seasons, so I'm sure they're in there. You know, already hashing details out, figuring out what they want to do in the future, and just building that relationship with each other, getting on the field, throwing a little bit, just seeing how. You know, the coach communicates. So that's a whole different thing too, that some people don't really, I mean, dealing with one coach and then going to a different coach, I mean, they might communicate with you a whole completely different way. And you got to learn, hey, when this coach, you know, let's say this coach he's on your butt, man. He's letting you have it. And some of those coaches, I mean, that's just how they coach. That means they love you. They want you to get better. And then some have a little bit more of a reserve tendency where, you know, they really just talk to you. They do not yell at all. That's kind of what we have with Coach Trout. Why he did not yell ever. If he, you know, if it was ever a problem, he'd bring you aside and just talk to you like a man. And then, you know, you knew, he'd let you know he believes in you and X, Y, Z. But then you have, you know, there's other coaches that like to lay into you a little bit. So it's kind of getting used to the coach from that side of things too, and just how they coach. But, you know, definitely getting some time to gel together right now is fantastic for them.
Well, and talking about the different personalities, I would think that if you're a head coach, you actually want a mix of personalities on your coaching staff. You would want the yeller, but you'd also want the guy who, you know, kind of puts his arm around your shoulder and talks to you that way.
Yeah, no, you definitely do. I mean, I think he's done a really good job of that. You got a couple old, and you got the old head coaches that have been there forever. I mean, we got a former captain with Coach Terry Smith. I mean, the old guy you go to, Coach Poindexter, go up to them, and they could talk to you about anything from football days to any women trouble, anything, man. It's, you know, they're there for you. And then younger guys, Ty Howe, he's fantastic too. He's someone you can go to, and former player here too. So that's, you know, he's done a really great job kind of just forming this coaching staff. Like you said, just having a little bit of everything and just being really well-rounded. So, you know, I think he's putting together a great staff, and hopefully Coach Manny Diaz stays. I know we're all praying for it. So find a way to keep him around.
I know. And it's fun to hear that the players feel that way, because, you know, the fans realize it, really want Manny Diaz back. And I'll be honest, this whole interviewing with Duke thing scares me, though, Landon.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously, you know what's going to happen. It's like when you break up with your girlfriend and you know she's going to see someone else eventually. It's like, you know, it's going to happen, but it doesn't make it any better. It still hurts. So, you know, I think that's a good job. You know, definitely has a lot of money, a lot of support boosters backing them down at Duke. But, you know, it's up to him and his family if he thinks that's, you know, better scenario. You know, obviously depends how much money they're offering, how much Penn State is, but something to keep an eye on. And like I said, hopefully we find a way to keep Coach Diaz.
I hope so too. Landon, this show went too fast. We had so much to talk about. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Jim from Keystone Sports for our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. If going to see Penn State in a bowl game is on your bucket list, I've got the solution for you. Collegiate Athletic Travel is ready to do all the planning for you. With both air and land packages available and 50 years of experience, let Collegiate Athletic Travel take care of all the details. They've got everything taken care of for a memorable trip to Atlanta for the Peach Bowl. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 800-788-4414.